Come unto me, the Savior said. Learn of me, listen to my word. The multitudes had followed there in Galilee, marveled at his wisdom, at the truth they heard him speak. For in the Master's voice they heard the power that framed the heavens, the peace that sealed the tempters, love that saves us all. Oh, can you hear his voice re-echo all the ages with the promise of salvation to our souls, with the hope of life and everlasting joy to the humble who will hear the Master's voice. Abide in me, the Savior said. Walk with me in meekness and be blessed. He taught them on the mountain, he taught them by the sea. In word and deed he taught them, and he said, come follow me. And in the Master's voice they heard the power that framed the heavens, the peace that sealed the tempters, love that saves us all. Oh, can you hear his voice re-echo all the ages with the promise of salvation to our souls, with the hope of life and everlasting joy to the humble who will hear the Master's voice. Can you hear his voice re-echo all the ages with the promise of salvation to our souls, with the hope of life and everlasting joy to the humble who will hear the Master's voice?
Good morning. It is an honor to welcome you this morning in the name of Jesus Christ, and so good, as always, to be here in his house and to feel his good spirit. I hope and pray this morning that that good spirit will minister to each of you. I certainly look forward to this hour and to the ministry that our brother Tom will bring, and thank you so much for the ministry that we've already enjoyed this morning and for setting the tone for our worship. We'd like to share from the 46th Psalm, beginning in verse 8, for a call to worship. As we think about the world and the things that we see unfolding before us day by day, there is certainly opportunity for us to be somewhat anxious and just unsettled as we see the world today. But this scripture is always a good reminder to me of the providence of our Heavenly Father, and the fact that His hand is truly over all. Come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolations He shall make in the earth in the latter days. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire and saith unto the nations, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts shall be with us, the God of Jacob, our refuge. Selah. We will open our worship this morning now with the singing of hymn number 63. Then Brother Mike will bring our prayer of invocation.
Almighty God, our loving Heavenly Father, we are gathered here today, Father, in recognition of Your perfect power and Your majesty, and we submit ourselves to Your Holy Spirit. We recognize, Father, Your perfection and our imperfection. And we recognize, Father, that already Your Spirit has been upon this service. And we ask that that same Spirit would now prepare each and every heart and each and every mind to receive the message that You have placed on our brother's heart. We ask a blessing upon him, that he might bring to us the expression of Your will. For we seek Thy kingdom, Father. We seek the beauty of Your love. And we do it in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
To be reading this morning out of section 64, verse 5a and b.
Behold, now it is called today until the coming of the Son of Man, and verily it is a day of sacrifice and a day of the tithing of my people. For he that is tithed shall not be burned at his coming. For after today cometh the burning. This is speaking after the manner of the Lord. For verily I say, tomorrow all the proud and they that do wickedly shall be as stubble. And I will burn them up, for I am the Lord of hosts, and I will not spare any that remaineth in Babylon. Wherefore, if you believe me, you will labor while it is called today. Will you bow with me? Dear and gracious, loving Father in heaven, we come before you this morning seeking to give unto you of our increase and our surplus, that we may offer it unto you, and that it be holy and acceptable unto you, and that we may, as we keep thy commandments, be justified by the Spirit and sanctified by thy blood. And we ask and pray this in the name of the only begotten Son, Jesus the Christ. Amen.
Good morning. I greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. For opening scripture, I felt led to read out of section 65 of the Doctrine and Covenants. And as follows, it says, "Hearken and lo, a voice is one sent down from on high, who is mighty and powerful, whose going forth is unto the ends of the earth, yea, whose voice is unto men. Prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. The keys of the kingdom of God are committed unto men on the earth, and from thence shall the gospel roll forth unto the ends of the earth, as a stone which is cut out of the mountain without hands shall roll forth until it has filled the whole earth. Yea, a voice crying, prepare ye the way of the Lord, prepare ye the supper of the Lamb, make ready for the bridegroom. Pray unto the Lord, call on his holy name, make known his wonderful works among the people. Call upon the Lord, that his kingdom may go forth upon the earth, that the inhabitants thereof may receive it, and be prepared for the days to come, in which the Son of Man shall come down in heaven, clothed in the brightness of his glory, to meet the kingdom of God which is set up upon the earth. Wherefore may the kingdom of God go forth, that the kingdom of heaven may come, that thou, O God, may be glorified in heaven, so on earth, that thine enemies may be subdued. For thine is the honor, the power, and the glory forever. Amen." May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of these words.
The Lord is my shepherd, no one shall I know. He leadeth my soul where the still waters flow, and safe in green pastures he maketh me rest. Restores me when wandering, redeems when oppressed. Restores me when wandering, redeems when oppressed. Through the valley and shadow of death though I stray, a rod shall defend me, thy staff be my stay. Since thou art my guardian, no evil I fear, no harm can befall with my comforter near. No harm can befall with comforter near. And mercy will follow me all of my days. In thine own house thou preparest my place. With blessings unmeasured my cup runneth o'er. Oh, what shall I ask of thy providence more? Oh, what shall I ask of thy providence
more? Thank you for that, Ministry of Music, Eric and Sister Calhoun. And I don't know the other young fellow's name, but I'd like to thank him as well. The last time I stood before you, I preached about the church in the last days, the Latter-day Church. And this time I felt led or directed to speak on the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is hard to define but the Lord spoke to us in many parables about the kingdom of God and helping us understand the kingdom. I've listened to Brother Evan Fry a lot on the online, and he has several sermons on the kingdom. And he's got, and I may have tried to pull too many of his ideas into this sermon that I thought were excellent in how he presents his view and his description of the kingdom. But one of the things he starts off with that I like is, what is the kingdom? And as I mentioned just a moment ago, that I know the Lord spoke in many parables concerning the kingdom, which helps us understand the kingdom of God. But Romans 14:17, I think, says it well. It says, "For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost." And so we know that when we're baptized by one having authority, and we've had the hands laid upon us, that we receive that Holy Ghost, which helps us become, we enter into the covenant with the Lord and become a citizen of God's kingdom, in His kingdom. And so I think that's very fitting, because when you think about it, the Holy Ghost is what works through us all in all, whether we're in the ministry, we're a membership, wherever we are in this church, that it's the Holy Ghost that ministers and gives us that ability to minister. And so I really feel, and then if when you look at the definition, righteousness and peace and joy. Righteousness is right living with each other in our covenant relationship with one another in the church. And of course, if we're doing that, we should have the peace and joy that comes from the Holy Ghost, that joy that fills our hearts with that peace and gives us that assurance that comes to us as we are exercise our faith in this gospel. One of the terms that Brother Evan had in his sermons was the present kingdom. He talks about the present kingdom, the kingdom in which we experience every day. There's a kingdom of God on earth, which I read here in section 65, and the kingdom of God in heaven. And section 65 talks about how the gospel will roll forth as that stone cut out of the mountain without hands and eventually fill the whole earth. And we know that the church is a part of that, the gospel going forth. And of course, in these last days, that church was brought forth back through Brother Joseph and the restoring of the Book of Mormon and the priesthood and those ordinances and the gospel as it was in the days of Christ. And so it is in our day, even though the church is in the a little bit tattered, as you could say, or not like it should be in its perfect, pristine form, the church is still on the earth, and we are a part of that church. And that's a great blessing unto us. We know that the book, the Doctrine and Covenants, talks about the cause of Zion is the church. And once that cause of Zion was established, the church, it doesn't mention that anymore in the Doctrine and Covenants. But then the church, as it spreads the gospel throughout the earth and rolls forth, we are familiar with that vision in Daniel's dream where he saw the stone cut out of the mountain with hands, that it struck the image of the head of gold and so forth and destroyed the Babylonian kingdoms from all the... And that kingdom took over all the earth. And that's what this scripture is referring to, and it's the kingdom of God. As it mentions here in 65, that the keys of the kingdom of God are committed unto men on the earth. And of course, the keys of the kingdom are that authority, that priesthood authority, and the ordinances of God which we have, which can be a real blessing unto us, if we're faithful, of course. And so the present kingdom is available to us. In Psalms 145, 11 through 13, it says, "They shall speak of the glory of thy kingdom and talk of thy power to make known to the sons of men his mighty acts and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. Thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom and thy dominion endureth through all generations." This is in Psalms. We know that John the Baptist, when he came on the scene and preaching the gospel, what did he say? The kingdom of heaven is at hand. And we as a ministry, we have that same opportunity to share those same words, I believe, that we can say with authority and with confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And I ask you, brethren, do you believe that? Do we believe that? Christ taught the disciples to say the same thing, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, Mark 1:13. Also in the latter-day Revelation, in the Doctrine and Covenants, section 32, 2F, it says, "Yea, open your mouths, and they shall be filled, saying, repent, repent, and prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Also section 39, 5b, and section 42, 2d, if you want to write these down. It says in section 42d, "And ye shall go forth baptizing with water saying, "Repent ye, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." So many times we have in our scriptures, all three books agree that those who have the authority can declare this through the Spirit of God. And so that brings me to another idea that Brother Evan had in his sermons, is the kingdom within. Once we receive the kingdom of God, the kingdom within is that Holy Ghost that I mentioned just momentarily that comes to all of us if we're faithful in the gospel. If we look at Matthew 15 through 19, or I'm sorry, Matthew 5, 1 through 10, we have the Sermon on the Mount where he's speaking of the Beatitudes. And it speaks of, when he's talking about this, the present kingdom and the future kingdom. In many ways in which it's spoken, there is what Evan Fry calls the present kingdom and what also is the future kingdom. But he says, starting in 3, "Blessed are they who shall believe on me, and again, more blessed are they who believe on your words, when ye shall testify that ye have seen me and that I am." And he says in 4, "Yea, blessed are they who shall believe on your words and come down in the depth of humility and be baptized in my name, for they shall be visited with fire, with the Holy Ghost, and shall receive a remission of their sins. And yea, blessed are the poor in spirit who come unto me, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." And so there he points out that these are the qualities of people who have made a covenant with Christ, receive the Holy Ghost, and show those fruits of the Spirit in the believer. And then in Matthew 6, chapter 6, 10 through 15, we have the Lord's Prayer, which demonstrates the present kingdom and the future kingdom. If we start at chapter 6, verses 10, he says, he's teaching disciples to pray, and he says, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come," which is in the future. "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven," which is present. And I think that's interesting that in this prayer, we know that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Truth is knowledge of things as they were, as they are, and as they are to come. And so here you see this in the Lord's Prayer, that "thy kingdom come" is a future thing, and we know that there is a future kingdom, but yet it also mentions that "thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And when we do on earth as it is in heaven, we have the present kingdom. And it goes on to say, "Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And suffer us not to be led into temptation, but deliver us from evil." And then it says, "For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen." And I believe just from the reading his sermons that there were those that didn't believe that the kingdom was available to us now. It was only spiritual. But we know different than that. We've experienced those things through the Holy Ghost and the organization of the church. If we look at section 85:9, it says, "All kingdoms have a law, and there is no space where there is no kingdom." All kingdoms have a law given, and there are many kingdoms, for there is no space which there is no kingdom, and there is no kingdom in which there is no space, either a greater or lesser kingdom. And so we have the different kingdoms that he's referring to here, and we can see that in our own lives. Every day we live by laws, physical laws, that take place. When we start our car, we put the key in, and we turn it on. Does it always start? We have to have faith that it will. We knew it started the day before. But every day we exercise faith that that car will start again. And what is that based on? It's based on physical laws. Mechanics, chemistry, electricity. And we don't really think about all those things, do we? But we exercise faith that that car will start. Those are kingdom laws. They're laws that God has set up, the natural laws. What we're talking about here beyond that is the spiritual laws of his kingdom. And so I think that's interesting that sometimes we have these laws in effect around us all the time. Of course, most of you know that I fly airplanes. An airplane won't fly without the force of gravity. It needs something pulling down for it to fly, which is what the mechanics and the physics and the chemistry and jet propulsion is opposite to. And there's forces that work that help that airplane to fly. And without those laws, you change any one of those laws, which is the same with God. You change any one, if he changes in any way, shape, or form, then it messes up the whole system. If the law of gravity ceased to exist, the airplane wouldn't fly at all. It'd be kind of like floating in space. And so I like to liken the physical laws that we experience and see and every day to the spiritual laws. We have faith in those physical laws. We too should have faith in those spiritual laws that are there. They're there, they function, and they work just the same as the physical laws as we exercise our faith in our Lord. And so that brings me to what I wanted to share with you about the future kingdom. We know the promise of Zion. We have that. And that's part of the what Evan refers to as the future kingdom, that which is out there yet for us to experience. In the Lord's Prayer, thy kingdom come. We know that we have a portion of his kingdom through the church here on the earth. And the church, that's one thing I wanted to share with you. Without the church being set up, there's one true church, and we talked about that. We know this. But without the one true church, the kingdom couldn't come. So Christ said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will what? Not prevail against it. And we know that and believe that. And so when that church is fully functioning, it'll bring forth the kingdom. The church precedes the kingdom. And we've been told that in the scriptures. Even what I read here in section 65, if we look at Revelations 12, 1 through 6, we have the description in Revelations here by John. He says, and there appeared a great sign in heaven in the likeness of things on the earth, a woman clothed with the sun, and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And we know that the woman is the church. And the moon was a Mosaic law. And the 12 stars is symbolic of the 12 apostles. This is all symbolism. And the woman, being with child, cried, travailing in birth, and pain to be delivered. So here this woman is what symbolic of the church. And that she brought forth a man-child who was to rule the nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up unto God and his throne. And we know that that child is the kingdom. And that child was, again, if we look at section 32 in the Doctrine and Covenants, it says that that church, as we know, is come out of the wilderness. It went into the wilderness at that time during the time of apostasy. But it says in 32:2a, and verily, verily, I say unto you that this church have I established and called forth out of the wilderness. And so this church is the predecessor to the kingdom of God on earth. And so this church, I believe, will never be taken from the earth, as I've learned in the restoration since I've come here. This church is here to stay, even though it's in the condition that it's in. The Lord is going to bless us, and we are going to be brought to that point where the kingdom of God will come forth. Brother Brad here mentioned the conditions in which we live, and it's discouraging when we see the way things are, but we know that this is all gathering towards that great time in this country, this world, that the church will come forth and fulfill in bringing forth the kingdom. And we know that the church is also the bride of Christ. It says in Matthew 16:19, and I say unto thee that that's not the scripture I wanted, but so the question is here is, he says, wherefore, Matthew 6:38, seek not the things of this world, but seek to build up the kingdom of God and to establish his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And so how do we seek to build up the kingdom of God? And it's through righteous living, righteous choices and decisions. I'd like to share with you a little bit from Brother Fry. He says, "The principal way in which we can build up the kingdom, however, is by persuading and teaching others to enter fully into it, to forsake their rebellion and indifference, and to begin to obey its laws. Comparatively, few men have been born again, have forsworn allegiance to the kingdom of the devil, and placed allegiance to God in Christ. Although no man and no nation can live outside the geographical boundaries of God's kingdom or his authority and rule, the kingdom of God can be shut out of human heart by rebellion, disobedience, ignorance, indifference. When men or nations do not live by the laws of the kingdom of God, whether because of ignorance or because of rebellion, the result is poverty, disease, misery, strife, war, confusion, and death." And we can see that today in our society with what's going on out there in the world. And we see the kingdom of the devil making its push and appearance in these last days in which we live. Reading just a sidebar here quickly, the kingdom of the devil, it says, must shake, and they which belong to it must needs be stirred up under repentance, or the devil will grasp them with his everlasting chains, and they will be stirred up to anger and perish. And so the kingdom of the devil does exist as well, but my focus here was to preach on the kingdom of God. But in this process, it helps cause people to repent, the destruction and the upheaval and the and this is where maybe we as a church, maybe down the road, but if we uphold the message, I feel like, you know, the kingdom of God is at hand, and we have the authority to do that. We have the keys of this kingdom, that we shouldn't be bashful or afraid to do so, and we need to pray that the Lord will be with us in doing this, of course. And it says, "We cannot build the kingdom of God on earth. It is already established and built. All we have to do is recognize that we are already under the jurisdiction of the king and his laws and obey. Then we shall have the kingdom." And I believe that's very true. I was, this is a testimony about when I was praying about companionship many years back. And one of the things that I was really concerned about with a companion is I was living in Canada. And I knew that I, because of the laws of immigration, I would have to go back to Canada. When I graduated school, I was attending school here at CMSU. And once I graduated, I had to go home. I was here and I enjoyed being here. I enjoyed being among the saints. I enjoyed the experiences that I was having and the friendships I made. That's when I met Joe and Brenda and her brother Mike and others. And anyway, just the Lord really touched my life. I wanted to come to the center place. I had other options to go to school for my career as a pilot, aviation. And but the Lord planted it in my heart that, well, maybe you ought to come to the center place. The school wasn't as nice. It wasn't as good as some of these other schools. But it met my needs to become a pilot. Well, anyway, that got me involved in the restoration. And it got me thinking that, okay, one day when I get married, I want to marry somebody that would be in the church, you know. And I had dated several young ladies, and nothing really was happening between me or them. And so I prayed about it. And the one night I prayed, and, you know, of course, when you reach a certain age, you think, well, meet my companion by this stage of my life. And that goes by a couple more years, and you think, oh, I'll meet my companion by this point in my life. And that goes by, and you start to think, will I ever get married? Am I going to be a single man the rest of my life? And I didn't get married till I was 30 years old. And I know I've spoken with some that had waited even longer than that to meet their companion. But one evening, I poured out my heart unto the Lord and about a companion. And the next day at church, I was attending the Blue Springs Restoration Branch back then. And Brother Bill Fountain, I don't know if many of you know Brother Bill, was there. And his wife was teaching on her book, Where's the Promise of His Coming, on the feast days. And he had said, when I got out of my car and I started to walk across the parking lot, he said he felt like the Lord impressed upon him that he had a message for me to tell me. And lo and behold, when I sat down in the congregation, he was three seats behind me in the congregation. And he said, and that's when the Lord impressed the message on him, what he was to tell me. And he said he gave it to him three times. And so here's the power of revelation. I didn't know Bill from a hole in the ground. I didn't know his wife. I was fairly new to that congregation. They weren't even members there. They were visiting, and she was teaching a class. So after the service, he pulls me aside, and he said that the Lord had heard my prayers. And the night before, like I said, I cried unto the Lord about companionship. And he said I wasn't to give up hope. And that night, I'd kind of given up hope that this was ever going to happen. And that, that me and my companion would sit at the Lord's feet in his kingdom. And so I feel like this testimony goes along with what I'm sharing is the present kingdom, which is what the church on the earth has the ability to give through the power of the Holy Ghost, and the future kingdom, all in one sentence was given to me in that message. As simple as it was, the Lord gave unto me that message. And at the time, I didn't quite think about it, and afterwards I pondered on it, and I realized how exciting that was, because the Lord spoke to me from a total stranger, giving me a message that I had prayed about that he knew nothing about. And then the fact that the kingdom was promised unto me in that short little message, and all the blessings that go along with it. When you think of a family, what is the kingdom of God initially that was set up on the earth? Adam and Eve. They were that first family. The kingdom is made up of families the church is made up of families within the church. And so in that promise was a great promise to me, and much of it has been fulfilled. I met Hope many years later, and then we've had a blessed family. I was able to gather in where before I wasn't able to do that, and I've just been extremely blessed. I feel like I've been extremely blessed by being here among you folks. Had the fellowship that I've received, so I hope with what I shared with you today was edifying and brings us all a little closer to our Lord. our Father and our God. It is in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, that we do approach thy throne at the close of this time together. And Lord, we thank you for the words which have been brought, for our hearing, for our consideration, for us to ponder. Lord, as we see the world around us, and yet we have this great hope and this faith that your kingdom will return here upon this earth. And Lord, as your people have gathered here this day, I would ask and present to you this thy people for a father's blessing, that you might touch each one of them, that you might quicken within their hearts and in their minds the hope of this great kingdom, that we might stand, Lord, in this day and in this age of darkness and despair. And as the mist of darkness is all around us, Lord, may you bless your people that they will hold fast to that rod of iron and not let go. And that the testimony, Lord, which you have given to us of this church and of this salvation which you have brought to all mankind, may it burn deep within our hearts and in our souls. And Lord, may we go forth and exclaim and proclaim to this people, to the people out in the world, to the kingdom which the devil rules over, that repentance might be declared, that that kingdom indeed may shake, that those souls might be redeemed, Lord, those whom you seek out. And so, Lord, please bless us as we go from this place. Please bless us that we might exercise that faith. And Lord, that we would look forward, that when we hear of these troubling things going on in the world around us, that we might look up and rejoice and remember the words which you have caused to be written that bring us this hope. May we hold fast to that rod of iron, Lord. Please forgive us of our sins. Please help us to stand strong, to hold forth that standard, to never let that flag be furled. And Lord, until we meet again, may you strengthen each one of us. Keep us safe, I pray, as we go to our homes and as we go out into the world around us. Lord, please strengthen us. Please protect us. Please guide us and direct us. Please bless us with wisdom and discernment, with charity and with patience and long-suffering, Lord. Thank you, O God, for loving us. We love you, and we pray that all the honor and the glory would be thine forever and ever. And Lord, thank you so much for your Son, our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who came and lived and died that we might have eternal life. And we ask all of these things now in his holy and precious name, even Jesus Christ. Amen.